In the name of Jesus,
amen.
About 8 years ago, give or take a couple of years, I took my son, Phoenix, to his first football game. We watched plenty of football on TV. I guess he was 4 or 5, but this was the first big deal in person. A friend contacted and asked us if we wanted to go to a UVA game, which would have been cool in itself, but over and above that, this particular friend had some contacts, and so we not just went to the game, but we sat in one of the executive suites. I don't know if you've ever been to those. They're very, very nice. You have the 10 or 20 seats on the outside, but then this great big room with this massive spread, all the food and drinks, everything you want for free. It was just quite the spread. I can remember first going there with Phoenix in his eyes for a kid who not only loves football, but who loves Doritos and cookies and top shelf juice boxes and couches that his friends were already jumping on, which would soon be moved out of the way to provide room for wrestling. This was better than heaven, just like wow on the face. Okay, so fast forward about a year. Saturday morning, I asked Phoenix on a whim, hey, how about going to a UVA football game? Which he says, sure, that'll be good. So I go on StubHub. I pick up some tickets. We hop in the car, park, of course, in Charlottesville's best college football parking lot here. We walk over to Scott Stadium. We go to our seats. We go to our cold bleacher seats. The seats, which I had purchased for less than $10 in section, not very close to the field. And I look over at Phoenix, and he has this face. It's his, where's the free food face? It's the, where are the couches for jumping on face? It's his things don't look right face. You, of course, see what happened. He'd only been to one game. He thought going to a football game meant sitting in an executive suite. Had to explain. That's not the case, at least for most people. Still had a good time. He could probably tell you who we played and what the score was, but still the face. And you know the face. Expect one thing, something better, but things don't look right. So today is the third Sunday in Advent, which means, as is always the case, it's the second week in a row that we've heard from this, or about anyway, this John the Baptist character. I didn't mention him last week, preached on a different text, but that's probably okay, because if you have a picture of John the Baptist in your mind's eye, it's probably the one which showed up last week in Matthew chapter 3. While John is not exactly in an executive suite, he's in the wilderness, he is at the top of his game. He is doing his thing, he's preaching up a storm, and the people, all the people are streaming out, and there are no holds barred, and he is letting it all hang out, and the people are letting their sins hang out and confessing their sins. They're being baptized in the Jordan, and things are going so well that people think that maybe John the Baptist is the one, the Messiah, to which John the Baptist, of course, has to say, hey, I am not the one. I can't even carry his shoes. You'll know when he comes, man, he'll be sweeping up the barn. He'll be fixing to burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. That's John in Matthew chapter 3, top of the game. Since we don't have time to do it on paper, maybe in your mind's eye, sketch a little picture. Sketch a little picture of John's face there at the Jordan, the top of his game, when everything is just wow. And now tear it up. Because that is not John any longer. When John heard in prison, in the prison from which he would never leave, and he probably knew he would never leave, when John heard in prison about the deeds of the one, when John heard in prison, well, he made the face. The face which anyone who's seen it knows, says, this doesn't look right. This is not the way things were supposed to turn out. Have you seen the face? Sometimes when I'm doing important sermon research, by which I mean surfing through the internet aimlessly, some clickbait will come up, and since the internet knows exactly how old I am, it's usually a picture of someone with whom I would have been familiar back in the 80s or 90s, and it's a picture of them looking taut and tan and shampoo commercial hair flowing in the wind. And then the little caption will say, you won't believe what they look like now. And then in a moment of weakness, I'll click on it, and after 55 ads, without fail, there they are, pasty and drawn, looking very unhealthy, ratty hair, and with the face. Things don't look right. Back in 1992, this is not what I thought I looked like now. Have you seen the face? Have you made the face? Are you making it right now? Oh, you say you're fine. Yeah, I know what you mean. Fine. Because I'm assuming that you know that fine, like words like scuba, self-contained underwater breathing apparatus, I'm assuming that you say when you're fine, you realize that the original etymology of fine is also an acronym. How are you fine? That is, I am feelings inside, not expressed. I'm fine. Me too. Which is why we all know the face and make the face, even if a few layers below the face that we most let people see. Finally away from the little kids. Finally away from the little kids. And I got into middle school. This is going to be great, but this doesn't look right. Why is everyone so mean? And off to college. Woo! No more mom and dad. It's going to be freedom and the fun's going to start. But this doesn't look right. Why am I so lonely? Or a quarter century into a marriage and this doesn't look right. Still these fights. And then a marriage that was but then isn't. Or the golden years that are not so golden or not with the one they were supposed to be golden with. This doesn't look right. And those are just the generic ones, the run-of-the-mill prompters of the this doesn't look right face. Because we're fine, we might not share them or share them enough, but we all have individual ones too. The things that we look on, often things we might look on only in our mind's eye because that's where we see them and we can't unsee them, even though they happened a long time ago. We can't unsee them because they were so not right. We can't help but see them and make the face to see the situation or that sickness. Or that loss, or that long box. This doesn't look right. When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to Jesus, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? That is, this doesn't look right, Jesus. What is going on is not the way it's supposed to be, not the way I thought it should be. So if you truly are the one, so are you? And Jesus answered, go tell them what you see and hear. The blind receive sight, lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. That is, yes, John, I am the one. Yes, John, you with the face out there. Yes, I am the one. Yes, John, I see your face and I understand why you're making it. And I even make it myself sometimes, some says Jesus. But I am the one and I am making it right. The blind are seeing, the lame are walking, the sinners are getting the good news to them, the dead are living. And I know you would really want me to explain to you right now why I'm not making everything right. Right now. But know this, John, I am the one. And I've started making everything right. And because I've started, I'll finish. Yes, you Johns, the Baptist, with the faces and the good reasons for making them. You Johns, the Baptists, with the good reasons for making the face, for wondering if Jesus is really the one, or am I fooling myself here? If Jesus is the King of Kings and he lives and reigns, like we can't help but say over and over, then why doesn't it look like it? Same message for you. Yes, he's the one. He's the one who's begun, but yes, has only begun to make everything right. For you, there's even more than for John, but still probably not enough. Yes, there's the few eyes and ears and all that stuff, but for you, even more. There's the good news that all that coming wrath and that threshing floor, all that scary stuff that John at the top of his game was on and on about. There's the good news that for you, this one, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, took all of that to himself. He took all the judgment and the wrath. He took all the not right in your place. He took it to the cross and rose with a great, "See, it's begun. When I come again, I'll set everything right and you'll have nothing to fear." But still the faces. Still the "this doesn't look right" face, because this is not yet the executive suite. And so don't stop making the face. Don't let anyone ever deceive you into thinking that maybe this doesn't not look right after all. That this mess of a world, that this mess of our relationships is just the way it is supposed to be. They're not. You give it this way. It is a horrible thing for a child to be neglected in any way or worse. But it's even a worse thing for a neglected child to be neglected and to think that that's just the way things are. This is Advent. It's the great season of coming. And the very idea of having a season looking to what is to come says that what we are looking at now is not right. So even if there may not be anything you can do to change some or even most of the stuff that doesn't look right, that makes you make the face, keep making it. Keep making it, if for no other reason, that it will be your witness to say that the way things are not the way they're supposed to be. And the reason you know that is because you've seen glimpses of what's to come. That you've seen glimpses of Jesus giving sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf and life to the dead. Say, I've seen glimpses in Jesus gathering up all that judgment of the world unto himself on the cross and then leaving it in the tomb from which he rose. I've seen glimpses and heard glimpses even today in a word of forgiveness in Jesus' name. All your sins are forgiven. You've seen it with a little bit of water on the head of a child or an adult saying, I will stick with you even though everything doesn't look right. I will stick with you until it does, in a little bread and wine. Glimpses in a little bread and wine put into your body, which are the body and blood of Jesus, and a promised forever body. And a foretaste of a seat at a table where everything is right. So you don't have to be fine or stop making the face. Make the face. And then absolutely, when you hear stories, when you hear stories of the evidence of things going the way they are supposed to, of little glimpses of grace and healing breaking into a world that doesn't look right, you can be like those disciples to John. Go and tell, come and tell us what you've seen and you've heard. They'll be like bread from heaven for the rest of us. Along with everything we do here, the reminders that yes, he is the one who started to make things right, who's still working and will finish the job. But keep making the face. And if someone asks you why you're making the face, you can tell them, well, it's because things don't look right. And then invite them to the local outpost of the International Things Don't Look Right support group called Emmanuel Lutheran Church. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.